The US state of Alabama has introduced what is possibly the world's toughest anti-abortion law. The only exemption is if a woman faces serious risk to her life if she continues the pregnancy. In the 46 years since the US Supreme Court ruled in favor of legal abortion, the way Americans have argued about it has just become so much more bitter. Jessica Mendoza is a staff writer with the Christian Science Monitor, and she's working on a series about the abortion debate, and she described, first of all, the Alabama controversy.
What has people very concerned about it is that it is essentially a total ban on abortion, and it does not provide exceptions for rape or incest, and it might open up doctors and other providers to prosecution as well.
And I believe, Jessica, that even some members of the religious right have said that this law in Alabama is extreme.
Yes, that has taken place. Some observers, as well as some conservatives, have come out and said that this might be a little too extreme even for them.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Pat Robertson, one of the founders of the Christian Coalition and a televangelist. I think he said, look, this is just going too far.
Right. The real issue here is that these laws were always meant to try and get a case in front of the Supreme Court. Ultimately, that is what the authors of the Alabama law have tried to pursue. What I think a lot of conservatives are thinking is that this is something that might be too far, and that if it does get to the Supreme Court, despite the conservative majority in the U.S. Supreme Court currently, that there is a chance they might rule against the case anyway. And so that's something that's a big concern for some conservatives who've been working for decades to try and get a case in front of the high court that would essentially overturn the 1973 ruling, Roe v. Wade, that made abortion legal in the United States.
How broad are the efforts across America to restrict abortion? Because we've also seen laws, I believe, in Georgia and in Louisiana that certainly don't go as far as the Alabama laws. But I understand they're gaining a lot of traction across America.
So the story that I think that caught your eye, Andrew, that you called me for was really meant to raise the question, to what extent does American politics revolve around abortion? And so in terms of the restrictions, I think there has been this broad movement to try and restrict abortion at the state level ever since, as I said, Roe versus Wade was ruled back in 73. In terms of how it's working out now, I think there has been a much harder push, particularly since Justice Brett Kavanaugh was welcomed into the Supreme Court. He was confirmed last October.
Where do Americans generally stand on the question of abortion? Because your reporting has contained some very interesting data on this.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the interesting part. We hear so much about the pro-choice side, the pro-life side, and we're careful not to use those terms, in fact, in our writing, because it is so polarizing. But as far back as Gallup has been doing the polling, I think 1975, public opinion on abortion in the United States has generally stayed pretty much what it was back then. And what they found is overall attitudes, nearly 6 in 10 Americans will say that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. That's really just to say that a lot of Americans, about 56%, say that it should be legal in some cases. So most Americans are willing to make exceptions one way or another, but so much of the debate actually revolves around what people on the edges would like to happen.
I think it's also interesting that it's become much more of a partisan divide, because in some of your work I've been reading that back in the 1980s, there were somewhat slightly more Democrats who favoured abortion rights than Republicans, but it was almost even. What's the situation today?
And so if we look back at the nation's political history, actually, we can kind of trace some of the origins of today's partisan divides to sort of the rise of the modern anti-abortion movement led mainly by conservative religious groups and the relationship they formed with the Republican Party. This was, as you said, back in the 1980s. Prior to that, especially before Roe was ruled, there was really a lot of overlap between the parties on who was for and against abortion. You would have seen a lot of Catholic Democrats who were against it. One of the first states to legalize abortion before the Roe ruling was in New York, and That effort was spearheaded in part by a Republican state lawmaker. But today, there is a very stark divide. You can very much almost identify a politician or a voter almost by the stance that they have on abortion. So if you're a Republican, generally speaking, especially if you're a politician, you're probably going to be against it. And if you are a Democrat, the odds are you are going to say you are pro-abortion rights. There are some exceptions. Louisiana is a notable one. John Bel Edwards, their governor, is one of the more prominent pro-life Democrats in the national scene. And you can name a handful within Congress as well. But for the most part, you're going to see that stark divide on the issue.
One of the interesting things that comes through in your reporting is this issue about how you frame a question about abortion. The actual words that you use when you ask people whether they're pro-life or pro-choice, for example, what results do you get?
So it's interesting, when you ask Americans, and this is according to Gallup, which is a pretty respected polling institution, when you ask Americans if they are either pro-choice or pro-life, and there are air quotes around those terms, they do split down the middle. It's about 48% each. And then you see that divide further become stark when you look at it from a partisan perspective. So if you ask that question of Republicans, 69% will say that they identify as pro-life. And when you look at Democrats, the number kind of flips around. When you ask the question differently, though, the numbers certainly change. And we're going to go back to what we talked about earlier, which is that majority of Americans do prefer abortion to be legal in some cases. So exceptions in a variety, it's sort of a range there that you'll find.
And there are dangers for both Republicans and Democrats here, that if abortion is the issue that makes you change sides, maybe just for one or two elections, it is actually likely to drag you over to the other side more permanently. Isn't that right?
That's what some of the studies have found. There was a study done in 2015 by some researchers at the Center for Economic Research in London, and another study in 2008 done by a political research journal basically found that, you know, defections are pretty uncommon. So if you identify as a, quote, pro-choice Democrat, it's very unlikely that you're going to switch to the other side, and it's the same the other way around. But if you identify as both, quote, a pro-life Democrat or a pro-choice Republican, there was a higher chance that you might switch parties. And once a person has done that, their political views tend to follow what the party has laid out.
So you wouldn't think, Jessica, it would be in the interests of either party to turn the question of abortion into a key election issue, would you? Because they each risk losing supporters to the other side, even if it's only in small but possibly critical numbers.
That's difficult to say. It might have been true before the issue became as partisan as it was. But I mean, part of the reason that it became this way was because the parties wanted to motivate certain types of voters. The Republican Party saw that there was, you know, a lot of opportunity within conservative Christians who had felt alienated by the Democratic Party at that time, and they wanted to mobilize them as voters. And abortion was one of a number of issues, but certainly a key issue in getting that voting bloc onto their side, so to speak. And so now that we're at a place where the partisanship is so stark, at least in the national discourse, it's hard for me to imagine, unfortunately, that centrism or you know, trying to find common ground on this issue is possible or even wanted by either party.
Yeah, well, you and your colleague, Samantha Lane Purvis, have actually been trying to, you know, address the question of some common ground in this. And one of the things that may shock people as we have these very stark abortion debates is the actual number and rate of abortion. What is happening to it?
So the total number of abortions in the United States is at an all-time low. So that's sort of a number that I think a lot of people don't really understand. It's the lowest it's been since the 1980s. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC here in the United States, said that between 2006 and 2015, reported abortions decreased by 24%. So that's a pretty big number, and it's very something that I think a lot of people don't realize.
That's Jessica Mendoza of the Christian Science Monitor, and there's a link to her series, and I highly recommend it, at the Religion and Ethics Report homepage.